All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Welcome to the DFO Rundown Podcast with Frank Saravalli and Jason Greger on dailyfaceoff.com.
Welcome to episode 262 of the DFO Rundown. I'm Jason Greger. As always, it's brought to you by Betano.ca. Please play responsibly. 19 plus, the game starts now. You have all sorts of options. It's Thursday and through the weekend in the National Hockey League. And hey, for hockey fans, even if you're not an NFL fan tonight, Easton Stick is the starting quarterback for the Chargers with the injury to their starter. So maybe if you just like hockey, you might want to go for Easton Stick at Betano.ca. Frank Saravalli joins us. And Frank, man, lots happening in a short period of time in the National Hockey League. I guess the Western Conference, three coaches let go. Craig Berube, the latest one for the St. Louis Blues. Drew Bannister will step in an interim basis. Man, there was lots of reaction in St. Louis. A lot of fans feeling like this was more construction-based as far as GM than the coach. What do you make of this move by the Blues?
I was a bit surprised in the sense that the timing of it. Like, look, I've watched the Blues pretty closely this year. I understand that they've played inconsistently. I get that Doug Armstrong wasn't happy with their compete and effort. They've lost to some bad teams and played down to competition. Craig Berube gets fired amid a four-game losing streak. I understand all that. I guess my struggle with it is big picture, because 1 month ago, almost to the day, Doug Armstrong was on Frankly Speaking. I sat down with him in Toronto at Hockey Hall of Fame weekend. He was there for his longtime friend and coincidentally enough, coaching consultant Ken Hitchcock. And he had mentioned that, not even mentioned, he acknowledged that this current crop of St. Louis Blues, they're not a playoff team. They are amid a retool, that he expects this team to be competitive in 2 to 3 years' time. And if that's the case, I guess my big question is, what has he seen over the last month as this team is 1 point out of a playoff spot that felt like he needed to make the move right now? Now, if I'm going to back up a step, I've felt for the longest time, and there's always been an undercurrent and or rumblings, that Craig Berube was never really Doug Armstrong's guy, that they won a Stanley Cup together in 2019. He was the interim coach. They won in a game seven. And that, of course, earned him a contract. When you take a team from dead last in the NHL to win a Stanley Cup. You're getting a deal to continue as a head coach. And then there was an extension that came after that. And I think part of the thought process was, at least if you talk to people in St. Louis, that there was never really an opportunity or a reason for Doug Armstrong to make a coaching change, even though he might have wanted to at varying points. And this maybe finally was his opening. What do you make of that?
Yeah. You know what? If you're the GM and you're the leader, and people can argue if it's the right building plan or not, but that's just kind of how it is in the National Hockey League. And if you're not on the same page as the head coach spec, then eventually you know they're going to part ways. It's just how it is. And even sometimes, Bill Guerin, him and Dean Evason were crying when he fired him. So even sometimes if you feel like you're on the same page, you do it. So this one doesn't shock me in the NHL. Coaches are hired to be fired. Very few last a long time. I sense, Berube and Armstrong, different personalities is what I've always sensed from them. And different doesn't mean bad. I just think they're different. And so
they're both pretty hard-edged guys.
Yeah. Well, Craig, I think is very fiery and, no BS type of guy. But
that's what Doug Armstrong is, a stone cold killer.
Yeah. So I don't know why. I'm with you. Like, now, Grant, I don't have any inside information on the Blues. It's not one of those teams that I really look at a whole lot, to be honest. But I don't know why. Even from the outside, it always seemed that there was a disconnect in the players they brought in and how they use them. And obviously, I think this goes back to the Pietrangelo. Like, the one big error was that, didn't want to give him a no movement clause till the very end. But then they've handed out no movement clauses to lots of other players who aren't as good. And that to me, now maybe he learned from it and said, wow, that was a big mistake. But to me, that's when you look at where the Blues kind of started to go down, and conversely, look where Vegas is. Who's their top guy on the back end? When you have an elite defender, and make no mistake, Pietrangelo is an elite defender, it can really make a difference for your team.
You can actually chart the path of the Blues being a cup contending team on the heels of winning one to then being a fringe playoff team with Pietrangelo's departure.
Oh, it's very easy.
Because the way that they've had to backfill since then, it's just, you can bring in quantity, you can pay guys lots of money, but none of them are really quite the same. And they've spent a lot of time chasing their tail. The Nick Leddy acquisition is a great example. Marco Scandella. They've had a whole list of players that they've brought in on top of Torrey Krug, who they obviously already tried to move, that really are just, and it's no offense to them, they're never going to plug that hole. That when you have an elite number one defenseman leaves. And I think it kind of goes back to, I think about this all the time. You never want to be dead right. And Doug Armstrong, in this case with Pietrangelo, he had such a hard line trying to negotiate for so long that he finally got to the end 48 hours before. And the whole time he had played this card of, in the back of his head, oh, he'll never leave. He's our captain, the heart and soul of our organization, trying to kind of strong arm him into a deal that at some point the player just says, you know what? Screw this. I don't care how loyal I am, how much I like it here, whatever the case may be. At some point, your actions speak louder than your words, and whatever you're telling someone about how much you value them, you're not showing it, and you walk. And that's a hard place to be in, but they got to that spot. And I thought his comments yesterday were really interesting. I don't know if you saw the exact quote, but Doug Armstrong was basically saying that he feels awful, that he feels like if he were to get hit by a bus today, that he hasn't left the St. Louis Blues in any better position than he found them. I think that's total malarkey. They won a Stanley Cup. 100%. The first in franchise history. And for the last 10 years, truthfully, they've been one of the very best and most competitive teams in the league with an authentic chance to win almost every year.
Yeah, I know.
A pretty good place to leave a franchise in. So I don't think Doug Armstrong's going anywhere anytime soon, but I'll be real curious to see how long Drew Bannister gets a run, because Armstrong was real clear to point out he's not guaranteed the interim role for the rest of the season, that a permanent search is now beginning.
Yeah, it's basically from the decade of 14 to 23. The Blues had the fifth most wins in the NHL. They won a Stanley Cup. And you look at the teams who won in that span. Tampa Bay, Washington, Pittsburgh, St. Louis Blues were all up there, top five. Boston's the other one, top five in points, top five in wins. So, yeah, they've been a very competitive team for a decade. But it is interesting how one significant move can really alter the whole course of your organization. And had they kept, now I'm not saying they would have won if they kept Pietrangelo, but like Pietrangelo over Justin Falk, and you go down the list of other guys, like it's not close. Like it's not close in what his impact's going to be on your team. And so, you know, that's probably where maybe Armstrong, you know, comes out and says he didn't leave him because he had him there. And that one decision really hurt St. Louis. Well, Vegas fans should be doing cartwheels because I don't think Vegas wins a Stanley Cup without Pietrangelo.
Agreed. And to be fair, when you've had a sustained run of success, look, like time's going to catch up to you. Ryan O'Reilly at some point with the way he plays is going to be long in the tooth. Vladimir Tarasenko, they kind of spurred the end of that. And maybe for not for good reason, but by dumb luck that it also happened to coincide with his game taking a serious downturn. I mean, there's been lots of interesting points along the way that you can chart for the Blues. But after 10 years, as you mentioned, 14 to 22 or whatever, 23, I'd even extend it back a little bit. 2012 is when the St. Louis Blues really started to get good. You can't really ask for much more than that. You had authentic chances to win and you won a cup, and maybe you did it in a year that you didn't have your best team. That's the way life works.
Yeah, but the one thing the Blues have done well was they kind of retooled, Frank, while they were good with some really good draft picks. Jordan Kyrou is second rounder. You know, that's a really good pick. I know he's not off to a great start this year, but if you look at his total since he's come in, pretty good player. Robert Thomas, a 20th overall from 2017, has been a hell of a pick, right?
And Jake Neighbors is late in the first round. He's starting to get going. He's got 10 goals in 28 games this year.
And remember now, they did move Tage Thompson. They drafted Tage Thompson, but who did that get him? Ryan O'Reilly, who won them the Stanley Cup. Like those picks in 16 and 17 were crucial to not only their Stanley Cup success, but also to, there's very few teams, like look at Chicago, for instance. When they were at the top, they lucked out finally to get Bedard after missing the playoffs for 4 or 5 years, but they didn't have anybody who was ready to take over. Pittsburgh's going to be in the same boat here eventually. The one thing the Blues did well is they were able to kind of retool within, and that's hard to do. You don't see that very often.
It's the hardest thing to do, and that's why they're really excited about Zach Bolduc and Jimmy Snuggerud and all these other guys that are coming along the way. I think Doug Armstrong, in his overall thought process and blueprint of 2 to 3 years, is bang on. I think you're going to see that team right back in the mix. And they really need to overhaul their defense over that time.
Yeah. I just want Snuggerud to play, just to say the name. That's a great name, Jimmy. Great name.
Jimmy Snuggerud, Neighbors. They got a whole list of great names.
And Jake Neighbors is really playing well right now for the Blues. I'm not sure that's sustainable long-term for him as a player, but hardworking guy from the old Kings, who's really on a heater a little bit for the Blues. So
they've got a goalie. They really like Joel Hofer.
Yeah.
Could be pretty good.
So who do they trade though? If Armstrong, and then we'll move on from the Blues. But if Armstrong said to you, Frank, that, hey, you know what? We're a few years away. I look, and you're right on their back end. You know, they got a lot of guys, but none of them are really have expiring contracts. Like, you know, the one guy who was expiring contract, you thought maybe would have trade value, doesn't. That's Varana. They just sent him to the minors. So you've got Kasperi Kapanen. I'm not sure how much, you know, value he has. Marco Scandella at 33 at 3.2 mil probably doesn't have a ton. Like, who do you see them moving? Like, is it,
they've all got no trades. It's the four guys on their back end with full no trades. Parayko, Krug, Falk, Letty. I think you have to move one of them.
Yeah.
I don't even really care who it is.
Okay.
Clear the cap space.
Yeah. Well, teams are always looking for D-men. Like, Parayko's got a really long contract, but at 6.5 mil for
a guy, horrendous.
No, it's not horrendous at all. I think there would be lots of interest in a guy like that. Like, when you're that big and you move like he does, you know, there's going to be lots of teams interested in him.
But the problem is, when you're that big and you move like he does, and now you're on the wrong side of 30,
But he's a good skater, though. Like, usually big guys who aren't good skaters, I'd be concerned. But Pareko's an unbelievable skater for his size.
Yeah, I'm just, at what point does the age chart catch up with you in the contract is the question teams would have to be asking, right?
Yeah, probably. I think they would look and say, well, we'll live with it for the first 3 years, right?
Yeah.
And then you move on. Quickly, it came out this week, Frank, that there's going to be some changes to the skills competition at the NHL All-Star game. They went out and they talked to some players. Connor McDavid had a big play in it. There's basically going to be 12 skaters competing for the $1 million prize. The first 8 will be the elite players selected from a larger pool of 44 All-Stars. And then the final 4 will be voted on by the fans. We won't see a John Scott get in. It's going to be guys who are announced to the All-Star team. What do you make of the change?
I like it. I mean, Tyler and I were at the All-Star weekend last year in Florida, and it was really bad. The skills competition was awful. So yeah. I like that they're putting some different thought into it this year. I love that the players got a seat at the table, specifically Connor McDavid, which I would imagine with his planning part of this process that he will also then be participating. Yeah. Which is huge, and it's in Toronto, so there's going to be increased eyeballs. Like you're not going to be able to get away with it like you might have when it was in Florida. Fans are actually going to be expecting legitimate, exciting stuff and competition. And so that, plus you also have at your disposal increased sponsorship dollars. When you've got it in Toronto, brands want to be part of it. Not that they didn't before, but I think it just puts that on steroids. And so you mash all those things together, player participation, a smaller group where you're not having to wedge in 36 skaters, and you curate your selection, your list of players, 8 that are going to be picked by the NHL and NHLPA and 4 by a fan vote, that I think you find a way to get the best of both worlds, and then you put $1 million on the line. And not to say that Connor McDavid's turning his nose up at $1 million, but I don't think anyone is with that kind of cash on the line. You might have some guys where it really is a life-changing amount of money. And I just think that, plus the structure of once you start the competition, you keep going all the way through, as opposed to, hey, I'm doing the fastest skater today, and then I have to sit here cold for an hour until my next event. That drove players nuts. Absolutely yeah. nuts. So I go 100 miles an hour at the start, and I've got to, risk pulling a hamstring or a groin and then trying to fly around the ice. And then you want me to sit here for the next hour and do nothing? That's hard to do. So I think this buy-in is going to be real. I think $1 million is great. Sign me up.
Hopefully there's a charitable bonus from that. But for people who are wondering, here's the 6 events. So the participants will choose their 4 of the 6 that they want to partake in. Fastest skater, hardest shot, stick handling, one-timers, a passing challenge, and accuracy shooting. And then
it's by the way, isn't it the Cheetos accuracy shooting?
Yeah.
How do you have accuracy shooting with Cheetos hands? Come on, get out of here. And by the way, I don't know about you. We know what Tyler's drunk snack of choice is. He comes home and he cooks himself frozen vegetables with butter. Do you have a drunk snack of choice? Dude, Cheetos have been my go-to forever.
Really?
Oh yeah.
If I'm eating something when I'm buckled, then usually it's going to be either a Donair or I'm getting chicken McNuggets and a cheeseburger with no onion. That's
okay. So people aren't from Edmonton, and I've had this question even when I go. Can you properly explain to our listeners what a Donair is?
Well, Donair, I guess the easiest way would be it's almost like it's in a wrap in essence, right? So it's a wrap, and then you have, now Donair meat depends on which place you get it at, right? But Donair meat can be a difference of beef. Some will have chicken, some are mixed in together.
Lamb?
Some are, yep. And so it's kind of shaped. So it's like a big, like almost looks like an oval of meat, and they'll strip it off. Right. Then they grill it. And now then you can throw in, like, to me, the big key is the Donair sauce. right? And it varies from place to place, but the Donair sauce for me is the game changer. Then you put in what you want. Like some people put in lettuce and tomato, some put in onions, gross. I think it ruins it. But yeah, it's just Donair is unbelievable. It's hard to describe the taste of Donair meat, but it's aged for a long time and it's like spices and put together. It's really tasty, man. It's unreal. I love Donair. There's very few though. Like I haven't had a Donair in years because to me, well, at least that after the bar, because there's none that are good on like from the bar that I go to my house. There's no good Donair places that are open at that time. Now, when I was in my heyday partying on the kind of the down the party strip, Roadrunner Automotive, a Roadrunner Donair, Frank, was without question the best Donair place. And it wasn't just drunk because we tried it a few times sober in the day and it was still
just to make sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
So explain Donair sauce. It's like a mayo based.
Yeah, a little bit. Like it's a white.
It's almost like a spicy mayo, or is that
kind
is that
of? Yeah, but like wait. Well, see, like I don't mind mayo, but I don't love mayo. So, no, I would. It's a good question. Like I'm the worst at describing it. I don't know what's on it, but to me, it's great. So I would say it's almost a little bit tastes like a little bit of Greek, just not as spicy as Greek. But with the, to me, it's the spice of the meat mixed in with the sauce that makes it such a good combination.
Hmm. And we learned one thing about you from this segment. Jason Greger does not like onions.
God, I hate them. Like it's a psychological allergy is what I like to say. I just, yeah, you couldn't, man, you could honestly, I don't think you could, I hate onions. Like, so now if you dice them up into a chili and it's really small, and even if I go to someone's house and they have like some people have big chunks of onions in their chili, or some even put onions on a salad. Like I'll just put it on the side of my plate. Like it's not like I can't eat it, but I always prefer not to.
So for our American listeners, I went to Outback yesterday and I got the Bloomin'
the steakhouse.
Onion. Yeah.
Okay. We used to have those here. We don't have any more. They didn't have a great run here, but
it's, good. I think it's food. Like a less classy version of the keg is how I would explain it.
Yeah, that's fair.
And, they have this Bloomin' onion. They take an onion and they have a big giant white onion. And then they have like a slicer and it slices it. And then they bread all the petals. And then in the middle, they have like a spicy sauce. And I was all over that last night.
Now, so tzatziki was the word I was looking for, Frank. So I would say it kind of, you know, Donair sauce can be a little bit tzatziki. Now, I know in the Maritimes, in the East Coast, their Donair sauce is made basically from like sweetened condensed milk, vinegar, and garlic. And it's really the garlic with the meat that makes it awesome. So, and then you just want to make it thick. So if anybody
else, and it's served on a pita, right?
It's like a wrap pita. Yeah. It's not open face, way too messy. You have to wrap it up. And that's the other key, Frank, because some places will have their sauce too runny. And then as you eat it, it drips out the bottom. It's brutal. Like that.
So is Donair different than shawarma?
A little bit, yeah. Shawarma is just different meat, but they look similar.
They use a different kind of meat.
Yeah, like I've only ever had shawarma once. Some, I think. So I'm not an expert on it. I would probably just mock myself. I would embarrass myself if I try to talk intelligently about a shawarma.
So
I had it once. I didn't really like it.
And what would you say is the origin of Donair? Is it Middle Eastern?
Good question. I think a lot of people, I think Donair's in Canada started on the East Coast. I have no idea who brought it to the East Coast, but that's where like they Alberta and the East Coast, like the Maritimes, those are the Donair capitals of Canada for sure. Like there's more Donairs there than anywhere else.
And you would say Donair falls into the unhealthy category, right?
Well, it all depends, Frank, on what your version of unhealthy is. Not at 2 in the morning.
For me, everything is unhealthy. So
I think it's very healthy at 2 in the morning, right? Would I eat a Donair every day? No, but you know, you mix it in every now and then, it's fine. But yeah, it's not going to, if they put it on the old food group chart, it's probably not going to rank up there in the super healthy category. Now, maybe you want to throw in some vegetables on it to try to help to increase the health factor. That would work.
I'm kind of hungry now.
Dude, honestly, have you ever, next time you're here, you must have come to a good Donair.
No, every time I come to Edmonton, everyone's like, hey, let's go for a Donair. We never do. What? Never, ever do.
Okay. I will put it down. It is December 14th. The next time you're in Edmonton, we're going for Donairs. Mark it down, guaranteed.
But I want to go to a good, and I don't want to go to like a fly-by-night Donair place with weird meat.
No,
very particular about
there's
meat.
Actually a very good one right by my house. Just a small little one. The Roma Pizza and Donair place. Really good. And the pizza's sick. So that's a place I would recommend.
That's suspect. There's no sick pizza in Edmonton.
What are you talking about?
There's no way. Dude, I'm from the East Coast. You got no chance. None. See,
it's funny. Like when I remember the first time I went to New York, everybody's like, you got to have the pizza. You got to have the pizza. So of course, you know, we're out, we're partying, whatever. So it's 3 a.m. We're having the pizza. And I'm not a big fan of when I hold the pizza, it's like this. And all of a sudden it's just limp pizza and it's down. It's thin. It was all saucy. I was like, I didn't really love it. Maybe I had a bad experience.
I think you had probably went to a bad pizza place, but.
But I was with New Yorkers. It was their recommendation.
You need some crispy New Haven pizza. Connecticut. Right. There's so many good pizza places in Philly, man. I'll take you next time you come down.
All right. I'm in. I love pizza, man. Like I'll say, we have Chicago deep dish here. It's really good. I love the deep dish pieces, man.
That's not even pizza. If you eat it with fork and a knife, that's not pizza.
No. It's just thick. So I don't
need one slice. It's like a meal
pizza with a knife and fork.
Well, that's what people do in Chicago with deep dish. Oh, it's embarrassing.
Yeah, that is embarrassing. You can't eat pizza. Who eats pizza with cutlery? My God, you should be kicked. If you're at a party and you have cutlery, I'd kick you out. You're like, you're out. Go sit outside. Finish it. It's like, we're not that classy. It's pizza. Pizza is one of the few foods that you should eat with your hands. Let's switch gears here. We've got more around the league we'll get to, but let's bring in Tyler Remchuk first. Ty, how you doing?
Yeah, I'm very excited to interrupt that conversation. You guys covered a lot of ground there. You've covered, I think, 3 or 4 different food topics now on the show and only 2 hockey topics. So I'll get this thing back on the rails. Speaking of Donairs, pizza, whatever, you can get it all delivered right to your door with DoorDash. And for a limited time, our Canadian listeners can get 25% off and 0 delivery fees on their first order of $15 or more. You just got to download the DoorDash app and enter the promo code NATION25. You guys talked about Craig Berube. Let's start with the topic of coaching changes. We've already seen 3 this year, which is crazy. Your question is, we will see blank more coaching changes this season. Frank?
0.
Ooh, everyone's safe.
Yeah, well, it's a good question, actually. There's really only one that I think maybe, and that's Ottawa, but they're actually starting to play well. So I don't see why they would do it. So, yeah, you know what? I probably would, unless there's a surprise team that suddenly just, you know, goes in the shitter, I'm probably going to agree with Frank.
If I were to shade one team, my guess, if I were to add, like, let's say things really go off the rails somewhere. If they really went off the rails in New Jersey, I think they would make a coaching change.
That's fair.
If that team is on track to potentially not make the playoffs or something, I don't view that as being an option.
Fair enough. Yeah, I mean, it is a good point when you look around the league and kind of see who's still in their first year behind the bench on some struggling teams. What about, like, 0 shot, even though things stay ugly in Buffalo? Hey, you don't think there's any appetite for change there?
Not with Don Granato, no.
Okay.
No. And by the way, how volatile has the coaching market been? Rick Tocchet is the 21st longest tenured coach in the league, and he was hired earlier this calendar year. 21st in a 32-team league. That's batshit crazy.
Yeah, like if you look, Frank, from February 9th, that's when Marty St. Louis was hired in 2022. So that's less than 2 years. The only coaches, and we're not even there, but the only coaches who haven't been in the league, who have been in the league more than 2 years on their team, Andre Tourney in Arizona, Hackstall in Seattle, Granato, Lindy Ruff, Sheldon Keefe, DJ Smith, McClellan, Rod Brind'Amour, Jared Bednar, Mike Sullivan, John Cooper. So I don't see any of those other teams. Like, you're going to get rid of a coach and within under 2 years, like, yeah, I would see, I know, I guess technically the owners just did it, so anything's possible, but it would seem a little odd to me. And none of those guys we listed at, you know, like, I don't see New Jersey, like, it's a good point, Frank, about New Jersey. I just don't see them. I think New Jersey, now that they're healthy, are going to go. So
yeah, they're starting to figure it out again. They're 7-3 in their last 10, but they've got ground to make up, and they haven't been the model of consistency this year.
No, they haven't. And Lane Lambert, some thought maybe, but the Islanders are on a roll. We'll get to them after Yaremchuk.
Yeah, 7 wins in their last 10. Speaking of trying to make up some ground, the Pittsburgh Penguins need to do exactly that, but they've won back-to-back games now. The Pittsburgh Penguins have a blank percent chance of being a playoff team, Jason.
I'm not even going to look at any of the models. Well, it's amazing they won some games because their power play showed up finally, so that helps. Like their power play, it made no sense to me how you could be that bad for that long on the power play. So I will say, like, I'm still not sold on the Flyers, the Capitals, even the Red Wings in the playoff spot. So I'm going to say Pittsburgh. I still give them like a 65% chance to make the playoffs.
Wow. 65 is a lot. You realize that they missed last year, right?
Yeah. But they're only like, they're 4 points behind Philly for third in the Metro. The Metro's not very good right now.
It's a really high number. I'm just looking at some of the models right now. Our guy, Micah Blake McCurdy at Hockey Viz. Guess what he has the Pens at?
Oh, probably 38.
49.
Oh, there you go.
Okay. Money Puck has both the Bolts and Penguins below 40%.
Yeah, but look, talk to me in a week. That's the thing about those models. Like, that's a percentage thing. It changes so quickly.
Yep.
Well, this one's different. It factors in a lot more than just where they're at right now. Yeah.
What's your number, Frank?
45. I think they have a less than 50-50 shot to get in.
Yeah, I think I'm probably leaning more towards, just a hair below 50-50.
I'm just curious before we go, what do they have the Islanders, Flyers, and Capitals at?
Flyers, 37, Islanders, 51, Capitals, 44.
So, all right.
Interesting. All right, last one I got for you guys. Remember a couple weeks ago, I asked you about, if you were starting an NHL franchise from scratch, which goalie duo you would pick? Similar-ish question, but it's based on the matchup of Connor versus Connor, and it got me thinking, if the league was wiped out and brought down into a fantasy draft,
don't
right?
Contract
out the window, the only thing that mattered is player ability and age, I guess. Like, the league starting from scratch, every player's in the draft. Connor Bedard would go blank overall. Frank?
2.
Really?
I mean, maybe someone would pick Makar too, but I think it would be something like McDavid 1, Bedard 2, Makar 3.
Now, is this a draft? Like, this is just a draft, or all teams are starting equal?
Everybody folds. They're starting from scratch. Who goes first? When does Bedard go is the question. Contracts don't matter. ELCs, whatever, throw them out the window. Starting from scratch, picking teams.
Yeah. I don't even know if he would go 2, to be honest. I'm definitely taking McDavid. I'm definitely taking Makar for sure. I would strongly consider Quinn Hughes. I think he is a defenseman, just control the game so much, and he plays so much.
But more than Bedard?
Yeah.
Quinn Hughes over Bedard is a fascinating choice.
Yeah, so I really like Quinn Hughes, man. The more I watch
him. Obviously, yes. Obviously, you do.
Yeah.
You talk about controlling the game. Like Bedard, he always has the puck on his stick. And he's 18 and doing it with no help.
No, it's very... Well, that's why he always has the puck on the stick, because there's no one else to carry it. I'm going to say he'd go 4.
All right. There you go, guys. That is a wrap on this week's edition of Fill in the Blank, delivered by DoorDash. Make DoorDash your holiday hack this holiday season.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare.
PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
It'd be interesting if, you know, you look, because there's the age of certain players, right? That obviously impacts this for sure. But like, I think one player that never really gets talked about how dominant he is Nikita Kucherov. And
but at his age, I'm not taking him.
Well, 100%. That's what I'm saying. But man, like he's been really good, man. Like, you know, really.
I would
good.
Take McKinnon before him. I would take Draisaitl before him.
Over Kucherov, second highest points per game the last.
I'm taking
7 years.
A center over wingers every time.
Yeah. Wow.
And that twice on Sunday.
That guy scores, man. I like him a lot. So
he's really good, and he's one of the few play driving wingers that exists. I'm just
Did
you like see McKinnon last night?
Oh yeah, no, Nathan McKinnon is
McKinnon put Jeff Skinner in the second row last night.
Hey, speaking of the Avs, what? Now I get that it's his job, but man, like Arturi Lehkonen's dad over in Finland, I don't know if people heard, he's ripping on Rantanen's training and stuff. And then Rantanen goes out, rips him in the post game afterwards. You don't see that very often. Like, it's just, you know, it's a unique situation. And I understand that, you know what, you're an analyst, so you're going to say stuff, but man, Rantanen's been pretty good. Like, I thought it was a really like an odd drive-by complaint.
It kind of felt like, and I don't know because I don't read or speak Finnish, I don't know the full extent of it, but I actually happen to know Arturi Lehkonen's dad really well, Ismo Lehkonen, because he comes to the Stanley Cup final every year as part of his Finnish broadcasting duties. And so, great guy, very mild-mannered, like certainly not one to be stirring the pot. And I think there were some comments that were picked up in a different outlet that sort of basically hinted like, hey, Rantanen was just too busy last summer. Different charity obligations, things going on, events that maybe he just didn't have time to properly train. And so Rantanen took that as like, he read it and was like, holy smokes, he was breathing fire. He used that as motivation going into that game against the Flames at a 3-point night. And he basically said afterward, look, if I'm not playing well, that's fine. Like, criticize me for that, but don't make shit up. And I know
100%.
I know that Ismo Lehkonen had reached out to try and smooth things over. And, you know, I'm sure it'll end up being nothing. Lehkonen, Arturi Lehkonen and Rantanen are good friends. Just odd to have two guys from the same country on the same team. And also odd in general for someone to have their dad be a commentator back home. That sort of adds into the weirdness of it. But it was certainly fascinating.
Well, and the thing is, like, Rantanen's got 37 points. Like, he's tied for eighth place in league scoring right now. So his, quote, bad year, Frank, is one that other players would die for. I don't, like, it's funny sometimes where, you know,
he had no goals in 9 straight games heading into that game. That was part of it.
Sure, I know. I get it. But to me, there's no reason to. I'm not a big fan of the hyperbole analysis where, okay, you know what? It's 9 games, hasn't scored a goal. But if you look at his overall game and his overall season, like, the guy is still one of the best players in the game. Like, I wouldn't be concerned. Like, you're more concerned with guys who are sitting there and, you know what, maybe sitting with 19 points, you know, at this point of the season. I think that'd probably be a little bit more of a fair assessment to say, hey, what's going on with him?
Right.
But he's got 37. When you're top 10 scorer in the league, it's hard for me to say you're having a bad year.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. A few other questions. What about the Islanders? Are you buying the Islanders? Have they found their tonic? Were we all wrong and Lou was right? Or is it just a hot streak?
they seem to be believing, just listening to some of the players the last few days, and the record's actually quite good. 14-7-7, like only 7 regulation losses. That ties the New York Rangers right at the top. They found a way to milk out 6 extra overtime losses, which is certainly beneficial in the standings. I'll answer this holistically. Like, I'm not a long-term believer in the Islanders. I'm not. Can they be a playoff team this year? Yeah. I mean, why not? But I'm not sold on viewing the Islanders as a threat. And I think that's really the big distinction to make when looking at this team moving forward. They're also really top heavy. They've got 4 guys who drive the bus on that team. And a lot of the rest of their scoring is they really struggle.
Yeah. Hey, Noah Dobson is having a hell of a season. And, you know, Matt Barzell's having one of his best years basically since his rookie season. So, he's, Dobson's got what? I think 20, he's over a point a game player in New York. He's been excellent. But
3.07 goals per game. They're 17th in the league.
Like, they got guys who score goals. Like, Holmstrom's got 8 goals.
The amazing part about Holmstrom is that he's leading the league in shorties. He's got 4.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, good for him. Like, that's are you going to score 4 shorties every 27 games? Probably not. Like, when was the last guy to have 12 shorthanded goals? Mary Lemieux, maybe. So, you don't see it very often, but yeah, good for him. The Islanders, like, the Metro's wide open, Frank. Like, Carolina, I don't know if there's like a just snap your finger and suddenly their goalies are going to play better. Like, that to me is a concern.
And that's the one thing. The Islanders goalies have been really good.
Oh, yeah.
It's right. If it's not 2, then it's 3 in terms of best tandem in the league.
Oh, yeah. No, hey. And Varlamov was a little bit better early on, but now Sorokin's playing like Sorokin. So, yeah, no, their goaltending's good, and we thought that's the one thing that might be able to carry him. I said, hey, if they make the playoffs, Sorokin could win the Vezina. I wouldn't be shocked at all. So, I think they got to get in. Oh, a fun question for you, Frank, before we go. Of course, how are you in the Daily Survivor? Are you still in this week?
No, I got eliminated. I made it through day 1.
Yeah, yeah.
I selected the correct outcome. Dallas beat Detroit, which was great.
What'd you lose on?
I lost on the Yotes having to beat the Pens.
Oh, yeah. Hey, Penguins power play woke up. It crushed you.
They did. And the Yotes, they're on a downward spiral. Win 5, lose 4.
Well, they're coming back down. The West is starting to get where people thought it would be as far as the teams that are in a playoff position.
Edmonton and...
Yeah, Edmonton is very
certainly close. A weird, weird week for the Minnesota Wild. Their assistant GM and their cap specialist, Chris.
Now, what do you make of that?
They quote mutually agreed to part ways. There's clearly some kind of discipline here as a result of what Michael Russo in The Athletic reported as multiple investigations. A very fluid situation in Minnesota is what I can say.
Yeah, it's that's the story. Yeah. Russo will definitely be all over that for sure to find out what happened there. But it was odd. You're right. Because it was kind of like the right hand man for Bill Guerin and no longer there.
Very surprising. And by the way, this Daily Faceoff Survivor pool, it's like no joke. There's only 38 guys left after 2 days this week. 38 people left out of 565.
Now, every week, your chance to play the Wendy's Daily Faceoff Survivor Pool. Go to dailyfaceoff.com. It's right there. You'll see it. You can get weekly prizes with their new limited edition chicken strips and Frank's favorite, the French toast sticks. Sign up at Daily Faceoff Survivor Pool. You win the weekly prizes. And it's not too late. You can go in a heater. You could win $5,000 cash. Whoever has the best overall success at the end of the year is going to take home the grand prize of $5,000 in cold, hard cash. So play now at dailyfaceoff.com, the Wendy's Survivor Pool. Just try to beat Frank every week. Give you, might not be that difficult.
Trust me, the last few weeks, it hasn't been.
Awesome. Well, good luck to the remaining 38 this week, and we'll try again next week. Have a good one, Frank.
Thanks for listening to the DFO Rundown with Saravalli and Gregor. Keep it locked on dailyfaceoff.com and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts from to never miss an episode.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
All right, hockey fans, listen up because we've got something special coming your way this playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and let me tell you, it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game day, you're going to be faced with four questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle. And here's a sneak peek into some of those questions we'll be firing your way. First up, you got to pick the winning team. That sounds simple, right? But there's more. You got to decide if the total amount of goals in the game will be over or under a certain amount, and that's where the real strategy starts to kick in. Next up, you're picking who's going to find the back of the net first, and you're going to want to be careful because that's one that could be cooked early on in the game. And finally, you got to predict which period is going to be the highest scoring. Will it be a barn burner in the first, a shootout in the second, or a nail biter in the third? That's up to you to decide. Now let's talk about prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? For the daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards to treat yourself to some fresh nation gear, and you might even win a jersey from your favorite team. And for the big dogs, those who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Play now at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.